All good.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, May 15th, 2023, and this is the Town of Curry Beach regular town council meeting. John, would you please lead us in the invocation and pledge of allegiance?
Certainly. Please bow your heads. Dear wise and loving Father, let me first say thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here today. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself and for a measure of health we need to fulfill our callings, for substance and for friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. Thanks as well for the freedom to embrace you or the freedom to reject you, but thank you for loving us so from your boundless and gracious nature. And a special thank you for all those that were able to celebrate Mother's Day yesterday. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Gentlemen, if you would please review the consent agenda items and let me know if there's anything to change. And if there is not, I will accept a motion of to accept it.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Consent agenda passes as offered. Now we have the adoption of the regular agenda. If, gentlemen, you would please review the agenda and let me know if anything needs to be added or deleted.
Make a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to accept the regular agenda and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The agenda is accepted. There were no public comments?
I have one.
Nothing? Thank you.
She has one.
I have an email.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Includes an easement for the ditch handling stormwater, the management of which is shared by the town and Beach Walk HOA. Number one, as plans continue for the proposed park in back of our property, could consideration be given to addressing this problem as well? And two, if this isn't possible, can some other arrangements be made to address this problem area, which has and will continue to have an adverse effect on our property? Thank you, Mariah and Bill Guyton.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to presentations. Mr. Parker, Safety Officer, Cape Fear, Sail, and Power Squadron, please.
Thank you, sir. Looks like a dog and pony shifting.
No, that's all right. It's important.
Let me introduce my colleagues here. We have tonight not one, but two past commanders. This is Ron Tillman and Otis White.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And we have our administrative officer, Barbara White, there.
Welcome.
My name is David Parker, and we are from the U.S. Power Squadron, the local chapter. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, and distinguished commissioners, we very much appreciate you receiving this in a warm hospitality. I was telling Otis a minute ago, when we come here, we know we are among friends because we never failed to get warm support, and we appreciate it. We're here to talk about Safe Boating Week 2023. Safe Boating Week is a time when we need to reflect about safety on the water. Now, everybody here is aware of how many new people have poured into this sport during the time of COVID. And one of the unusual things is to see the sport grow that rapidly in a short time. And of course, this has led to more accidents. We've had a higher accident rate overall in these years than what we've become accustomed to. But some of the things here, some of the basics of boating safety have not changed. The Coast Guard publishes that they maintain statistics about boating accidents. And every year they publish a good analysis of the data about it. And the part that strikes me is a statistic that's been consistent for quite a while now. If you lose your life, among all the people who lose their life while they're boating, 80% of them die by drowning. And among those folks, 86% of them don't have on a life vest. I mean, it comes right down to it. I mean, the statistics just show that if you got one of these things on, it is really hard to lose your life when you're boating. It becomes just about the safest activity that you can practice. And so what we're left with is a need to make this this wearing of life jackets an automatic thing, because it doesn't work if you don't have it on. That's the catch in it all. And we need to make it like putting your seatbelt on in your car when you drive. There's nobody in this room would even imagine going out on the roads without putting your seatbelt on. And so we need to have our life jackets on the same way, dock to dock. Now this brings me to my latest point. It's taken me a while to figure this one out. I'm the safety officer of the pilot squad. I talk about safety all the time. I could not discipline myself to wear my life jacket dock to dock when I was wearing these things here. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And until I found this thing here, this is a self-inflating life vest. If you fall in the water, it inflates by itself. It provides the same lift as this thing here, but it's not awkward. I mean, you can wear it. And I do now wear my boat dock to dock. So that's really my message tonight. I'm not here to tell you you need to wear this thing all the time, but you need to find something you will wear, and then you need to put it on. So that's our message for Safe Boating Week. That's our pitch. We thank you. We thank you so much for this proclamation and for all your consistent support.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to... motion that we accept the proclamation as.
Okay. All you need now is a boat.
That's great, yeah. Thank you.
So we have a motion
second.
To accept and
second.
A second.
Wrong.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Gentlemen, we will sign the declaration.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
May we have a picture with you, Mr. Mayor?
With me?
Yeah.
Well, I ruin pictures.
Well, you want to get a whole group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would.
If you can stand, guys, why don't you stand up?
Thank you.
I get to be an honorary.
Can we slide it in? Slide in.
Yes, let's slide in.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for the work you did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just for the uninitiated, I'm not running for office this year.
Okay, moving into committee business. Mike Ped,
I'm handling that tonight. Got two things, Mr. Mayor, I want to talk about. One is a proclamation in support of the May of Bicycle Awareness Month. There's a proclamation in it, and there I found one typo this afternoon. The last paragraph should say Curry Beach instead of Wilmington's, but Beth said the one you're signing has the correct verbiage in it.
So,
I'd like to make a motion that we accept this proclamation for Bicycle Awareness Month.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the proclamation on Bicycle Awareness Month. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
And I've got.
I will sign it.
One other thing. This Saturday from 12 to 3 is our traffic garden here in the Town Hall parking lot that the committee put on. It's our second annual. We're doing it during Bicycle Awareness Month this year. If anybody wants to volunteer, volunteers are to be here at 11 o'clock Saturday morning, and we'll be here Friday afternoon setting everything up. So, look forward to having a big day. We've got Shore Break Bikes, donated 3 bicycles to giving away, and then Tony Schiavone is bringing bicycles for kids to use if they don't have one to go through. And we're going to do helmet fitting to the Terry Benji Bicycle Foundation.
Okay.
And the Island Men and Island Women are sponsors for us. So.
Very good.
Oh, and one other thing. The First Baptist Church is doing snow cones and popcorn and snacks for the kids after they finish as a service project. So appreciate what First Baptist
is doing. Well, that's outstanding.
It's going to be a big day, so come by and see us.
Yep. Pass the word. We pushed it out, but pass the word. It's good for the kids. They have a good time, and they learn something. Community Center. Nikki, anything to report?
No, they didn't meet this month.
Sorry?
They didn't meet
this month. I do want to commend you, though, that it looks like the rentals are coming up pretty significantly. So, good work.
Thank you.
Historical Preservation Commission, I don't think.
No,
nothing.
Okay.
Land Use Plan. We have.
We can take that off.
We can't take it off because it was accepted.
And you can skip parking as well.
Yeah, you don't need to put land use plan on any future agendas.
We
all
just
right.
have to fix the template.
So, CAMA did accept the land use plan that we produced.
Yes.
So, it is now complete, on file, and if you would like to see it, you certainly can get a copy of it. I believe it's online.
It's online, too.
Yep. Marketing Committee.
Nothing to report.
Okay.
But next month will be the presentation of the budget.
Right. Thanks, Mark. Parking Committee. Dennis?
Things are going well for our parking situation here in Curry Beach. It's obviously very dependent on the weather. We've had good weather in the last week or two, and so revenue has been steady and going up. We're above where we were last year, and let's pray for good weather for Memorial Day weekend for all of us and help with our parking revenue.
Thank you. Planning and zoning, Byron.
As the agenda indicates, we've completed work on Chapter 15, and scheduling the legislative hearing is now next, which Attorney Eldridge will cover here in a few minutes. Led by Member Burlock, we are now moving on to the additional chapters. Joe has completed reviews of chapters 1 and 2. The intent is to get 3 wrapped up before we then bundle that together and then turn it over to Attorney Eldridge for his work.
Right.
And then just continue on in numerical order from there, unless council has any desire for us to prioritize things differently. So, if you do have any input, please let us know as we're underway with this.
I believe the gentlemen have a good plan. I have no interest in changing it.
Yeah,
any
I agree.
Comment?
I agree.
Okay.
And then as far as permitted uses, we have completed 10 of the 14 zones. Our June meeting will include the remaining 4 zones.
Mm-hmm.
We would anticipate developing final consistency statements for all 14 at our July meeting. And so you should expect to see that on your agenda in July.
Okay.
And then lastly, with the work underway, particularly around permitted uses, we've come across an issue that we just wanted to bring to your attention. Throughout our code, notably in the permitted uses section, but elsewhere as well, we often make reference to what are called SIC codes, standard industrial classification. Our commission, during the last meeting, spent considerable time talking about the advantages and disadvantages of using SIC codes. A most notable concern is the fact that SIC codes can change over time, mm-hmm. and we may not even be aware of the changes. So there is a concern that syncing up the intended definition and then the SIC code could potentially be in contrast as opposed to in support. We also have found cases where we're kind of hit and miss on the use of SIC codes. In some cases, we have elaborate definitions that fully cover what is intended, and no SIC code is referenced. In other places, there may just be a term, and then multiple SIC codes used as being kind of the reference for what mm-hmm. that is supposed to be defined as. So at least on the surface, and I think Attorney Eldridge can cover this much better than I, but I think what we found is that particularly towns of our size have kind of moved away from SIC codes and have replaced them with more detailed definition so that we're ensured that we're conveying specifically what we want that definition to be and don't have risk that the SIC code potentially could be in, not in support of exactly what we're intending. So our preliminary thinking is that we eventually do away with SIC codes and do the work necessary to ensure that we have ample definition, you know, throughout the code, which mm-hmm. is going to be a big project. But certainly know that, you know, again, this is just a preliminary thought, and certainly looking at council's guidance for, you know, any thoughts that you might have on the topic or anywhere else that we potentially could go to, you know, to kind of seek input on this.
Okay. Any comments, Sheldon?
Are we going to go over the text amendments in
Attorney Eldridge?
The attorney is. When they come up in the regular business.
What? Actually, referenced on the agenda.
Yeah, it's on the agenda.
Yeah. Business, it's on the agenda.
Yeah.
It's
right
just
now.
Just the schedule.
Yeah. But yeah, again, I know I'm hitting you with this SIC code topic kind of out of the blue. So, mm-hmm. like I said, it is something that perhaps over time, you know, we would want to talk about further and kind of come to some kind of consensus around how we would want to go with that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Just as a point, I've been remiss that if anybody needs to use the restroom, you're going to need to have to go through these doors and the next doors to get into that hallway. My apologies.
Thank you, Council. Thank you, Mayor. Just to elaborate on a couple of things, the reference to chapters 1, 2, and 3 are with respect to syntactical changes like what you have on the agenda tonight and next month, which is chapter 15. Grammar, typos, moving things around, nothing substantive, just a rewrite, a cleaning up, clean copy. Mm-hmm. The SIC code reference, it might be instructive for you all to just take a glance at chapter 15's permitted use section to see what we're talking about. For example, you might have district, I'm just making this up, RA1, and you'll see text regarding certain uses, but you'll also see reference to the SIC codes. And you can kind of look at a couple of those and see some of the problems we're running into. I'm a mixed view on it, simply because getting rid of all those SIC codes is going to be a comprehensive project. And there's a lot of other comprehensive projects on the front of the scope. But there are some issues concerned with it, and it is rather a dated way of doing things. I think we found an example in Elizabeth City, but besides that, I've never seen any zoning ordinance that relied on SIC codes except for Curie Beach and Elizabeth City. I'm sure there's others, but mm-hmm. it's an old way of doing things. And then bringing me to the agenda item on point, the syntactical text amendments to Chapter 15 have been reviewed and reported on by PZC, so they're ready for you all to consider and act on. And the purpose of this agenda item tonight is to fix the date for the legislative hearing next month.
Okay. Any questions for the attorney?
I would like to pick on the new issue about wind energy equipment. It's new paragraph 1536.36.250.
All right, is that in the chapter 15 text amendments?
Yes.
Do you have a page number at the bottom of that?
36.
I got it. 36?
Yeah. I mean, it's referenced on 28 as a new input, but 36 is what it talks about.
Just give me a second to get oriented. I'm sorry, did you say 36?
Yes.
Page 36, yeah. 1536.250 is the.
I mean, it's page 36 that comes up on our computers here.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell me, 1536.250 wind energy equipment. Yes, sir.
Then the little sub writing just says wind systems are not permitted in any form in any district. I would respectfully say wind energy systems are not permitted, because if I've got one of those little things for my weather capability in the house that gives me temperature and wind speed and direction, that is a wind system that's monitoring the wind condition outside my house. It doesn't provide energy. What this is also telling me is my little 4-foot wind generator that's providing power to my ice cream maker outside is not allowed anymore. But,
it wasn't allowed before.
Well,
they didn't add that. It wasn't allowed before, John.
Let me make a technical point. Those sound like comments that would be entertained and acted on as council considers and acts on the text amendments, which would be following the legislative hearing. Technically speaking, tonight's agenda item is just to fix the date for that hearing. So with all due respect, I'd ask you to reflect on that and keep it in mind and bring it up when council discusses, because we can always the change that you suggested is not a substantive change. We can always tweak what's in front of you and adopt the tweaked version.
Okay.
But for clarity's sake, if we go back to your 36 of 44, I note that the title says wind energy equipment, and then I note the text says wind system. With the consistency that you want, the wind systems energy equipment, which way?
Just add, I would say wind energy systems.
Wind energy systems. And then insert energy into the line below the head. Wind energy systems.
Well, yes. I would put, you can, as far as I was concerned, you can leave the title wind energy equipment and then put wind energy systems are not permitted.
Well, I think
or best, make them both the same.
I think it's best to have them both the same.
Okay.
But so can we revisit that after the legislative hearing? I've made a note, and Commissioner Barlock might have a comment. This is basically his baby.
That's a very good comment. No problem with that at all. But just to point out, the only change we made here was we took wind systems out of the solar section and broke it out on its own. We didn't change a word. So the wording that you see here is the existing wording now. So you're going to turn off your ice cream.
I do think the councilman makes a good point, because there is some inconsistency between the heading and the text.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to clean things up, we can clean that up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you all would fix a date and let staff know, please. Basically next month.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Do we feel like we need to do this before our council meeting, or do it within the meeting like we did the last public legislative hearing?
Well, I think we would do it before the meeting.
Either way, we were revisiting something we discussed before.
Yeah.
Last time we did it in the meeting, and it didn't cause any hiccups.
Right.
So it's your all's pleasure.
Make a motion, we schedule the legislative hearing as the first action of the June 19th meeting.
Second.
For when, David?
The first action of the meeting, so at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John. Shoreline access and beach protection.
We have two new beach boosters, one at 1004 and a half ramp, and also another one at J Avenue. So if you happen to see those signs, they're up and going. And thanks to Jimmy's group, we have all the new signs are up on the beach, and we have cigarette receptacles at each ramp.
Excellent. How many signs did we put up?
Well, I don't know.
Was it 400, Jim?
Let's say that every sign was touched one way or another.
All right. Okay, good work. Thank you to the committee. Stormwater.
So our chairman couldn't be here. She asked me to do the update. So at the last meeting, we worked on the comprehensive map that delineates all of the permit areas for all the ponds in town. So we're working on that. We will be rescheduling the meeting next week. Once she gets feedback from everyone, we'll let Beth know.
Okay.
Because a couple of us are out of town next week for different issues. It's going good.
Okay. Consent agenda. I saw I added three new people. Good. All right. Okay, department head business. Moving into that. Administration. Mandy?
I don't have any updates.
Okay.
Building
Inspections Department? Well, John is preoccupied. Is John here? Okay. Bethany, anything to report?
Nothing to report.
All right.
Except there's a new member.
Yeah, a new member of the family.
Yeah, new family, right. Finance Department?
Nothing to report.
Okay. You get your day in court next, coming up. Fire Department?
Just a couple quick updates. We do have a full staff now of lifeguards. I do believe we were the only beach that was able to fill it right off the bat. So kudos to JD for setting the culture and good work environment. All the lifeguard stations, the towers are up, they're painted, and they're in their place. And the lifeguards started their two-week training process today. So they'll be out there from 4 to 7 for the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you. All set to go.
Ed, how many is that total?
Lifeguards or towers?
Lifeguards.
Well, we have 34. We have 42 tryout total.
That's great.
Police Department.
No update, sir.
Okay, Chief, thank you. Public Works, Jim.
Quick updates about a few projects we had going on. We've taken care of sea lane paving already, and stormwater project on Mississippi and Pinfish is completed. And a week from tomorrow, the contractor's going to come install the vault down at the shop so we can get the flow meters installed. And the last week of May, the McGill will be coming in and start dredging the lagoon.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Recreation.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A couple updates. The resurfacing of the tennis and basketball courts was completed on May 5th, and those have been reopened. The T-pad, converting those to concrete pads, actually wrapped up today. So they knocked out 24 pads with 3 trips with a concrete truck in one day. So it's pretty impressive work. And the club contributed about $5,000 at least dollars of their own money with the town, you know, mapped like $3,500. So the courts will be closed for the rest of the week to let those cure, and then they'll be reopened for play next Monday. We have received 2 special event permits for disc golf tournaments in June. The first one is from the Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club, and that one is June 3rd.
The second one is Cape Fear Discs on June 18th. Both of those would normally come before council, but because they're in paid parking season, they have requested parking vouchers or coupon codes for the participants of those tournaments, so we need council to make a decision on how to move forward with that.
Okay.
Can the codes, this is a technical question about parking, can the codes be so they're just for 6th Street and parking area, or they work everywhere?
I do believe they are just for, yeah, for 6th Street.
To a certain area?
Yep.
I mean, then I lean towards, as long as we can do that, I could support that.
Yeah. We actually had decided previously to give her so many codes.
That was for their monthly work day.
Right. Oh, okay.
So this is actually a tournament that the public would participate
okay.
in.
Okay.
So they're expecting around 100 yeah. people per event. So.
I don't have a real big problem with the Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club. They just did spend $5,000 of their own,
yes.
of their own
yes.
money. The other one is completely, it's a different project, a different group, and you know, I'm sure that there'll be funds raised through that.
Correct. The first one, too, for Pleasure Island, this golf club, all the money is going to charity. The second right. applicant did not indicate any such thing on their application.
Okay, thoughts?
Is there enough room on 6th Street to handle
between
potentially what I would imagine 30, 40, 50 cars?
Yes.
Yeah, between that and the park?
Mm-hmm. And down by the church?
Yeah.
I have no problem with the Pleasure Island Disc Club doing the voucher for them. I'll make a motion that we accept their offer and give them vouchers for their tournament.
I'll second that.
Okay. So for the
Pleasure Island Disc Golf.
Yeah, for the Pleasure Island Disc Golf group, we have a motion and a second.
One second. Can we clarify the second group, Cape Fear Disc? Did they just not indicate that there it was a charity event, or if it is, or is this?
I can reach out to them and find out.
This is part of a tournament series in the area.
Right.
910 is our area code through 910 tournament series.
I don't think it, yeah, it's like a 12. It went the whole year, and each month they're doing a tournament. And
right.
It's not the same people making an application. No. Totally different. No, nothing.
Well, our disc golf club helped them with their application, but they are not co-sponsors of them.
Okay. And we got a motion for the Pleasure Island.
Okay.
Well, I would just suggest that you go back to them and just see. I know it's a 12 event, but, you know, where is the money going? You know, if it is going to worthy cause, then we can do it, but I agree. So support
I'll have
that.
To follow up via email on that because the tournament is before the next council meeting.
Yeah, you can poll mm-hmm. council for the second.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a motion for Pleasure Island Disc Golf. And a second, all in favor of providing them with vouchers?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, that'll
before
happen.
6th Street in the park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll look forward to getting input back on the others.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And then you can poll council and get it done. Thank you, Nikki.
Might suggest they make a donation to the Pleasure Island Disc Golf.
Yeah. Okay. Old business. We have no old business on the agenda, so we're going to move into new business. And the first item is the proposed text amendments to Chapter 13, Community Development and Public Facilities, Recreation Director Keeley and Attorney Eldridge.
I'll take that, Mayor.
All right.
Some background. I think the genesis of what you have in front of you, I think it came from a question from Chief Bowden about hours of operation and enforcement. Trying to respond to that question and conferring with Ms. Keeley, it was evident that two things became very evident. One, you didn't have a comprehensive set of rules for your parks, PDA, there's some oblique reference on the website to Joe Eakes Park, but you don't have anything in black and white. The second point is, if you do it by ordinance, the North Carolina General Statutes gives you tremendous latitude and resources for enforcing that ordinance. Civil penalties, criminal, which I recommend against, equitable relief such as injunctions. If somebody is a repeat offender, you can get a court order abating that nuisance, so to speak. So when all those things became clear, my recommendation was to go ahead and draft an ordinance for the parks, and that's what you have in front of you. In one sense, it's a very simple document. It sets out the purpose and basically runs through all the do's and the don'ts, references enforcement, and gives the recreation director the authority to publish rules for park usage. And it's important to understand that what you have in front of you are regulations. She can develop the rules based on these regulations. So I worked pretty closely with Ms. Keeley, and I thank her because she was always available, and we worked through some of the provisions that had some questions associated with them. And this is what you have in front of you. And I think just looking at the page that's on the screen, the cover page, so to speak, you'll see where we've included it in Chapter 15 as a new article. And then you can see below that, on that list running from 010 through 210, just how many items we're covering regarding the do's and the don'ts in the park. And the beautiful thing is now if you pass it, it's in black and white and it's easy to enforce. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
One of them. I just have one, and Bethany, you might know the answer. What is our what's our noise ordinance time? Is it 10 p.m. or 11 p.m.?
I believe it's 11 in the downtown district at any time it bothers anybody.
Okay. I just saw 11 p.m. when it closes, and I wanted to make sure they were at least matched up.
Right? And the 11 p.m. is... that's not a change, that's not a modification from the way that park's been operating all along, 11 o'clock with the lights.
Okay.
One other thing I forgot to mention, my recommendation as set forth in this document is to enforce it at first glance internally by the issuance of a civil penalty. And I've left that amount blank. So if council does approve these text amendments, I would like to have a consensus first as to the amount of the civil penalty and then reference that tweak when you make the motion to approve these text amendments.
Right. Last page had that blank.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Go ahead, John.
It's on page 5, at the top of page 5, animals and pets. Mm-hmm. Pets and service animals brought onto park property must be housebroken. Well, I think of terms of my pet being housebroken means it will not go to the restroom in the house. And so where is it going to do that? Outside, at a park, on grass, around trees. And so I'm not sure how that opening sentence applies to having a pet in a park environment.
That's a good catch. Park property, the definition for that includes buildings, but it also includes the ground. I think to address your concern that we need to change, what was that, top of 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what very top of 8.
We need to change on that first line for 1315.120, animals and pets, subsection A, first line, instead of onto park property, I think it should be into park buildings or other structures.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Not me.
Okay, do we count the parking areas at the parks as part of the park property or not? Because you say no overnight parking, but we don't have that rule in parking, designated parking areas, I don't think. Right, Chief?
Park property, let's see how that definition
It's kind of general, but it talks about parking.
Park property does include parking areas.
So the only concern is for overnight parking. I know people use that for overnight parking. I don't know that that's been a problem. I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just asking.
Are you saying that historically we have let vehicles park overnight in the parking area?
Mm-hmm.
They generally park on the outer.
On the parking area. That's why mm-hmm. I ask, is the parking spaces park property or not for this? Because they're...
Parking spaces are park property. Yeah. That's currently the park. Yeah.
Well, this says no overnight parking. I'll have to find where it said that.
I'm still confused. Are they parking outside of the parking areas for the park?
What areas are we talking about?
So,
Joe Eakes.
There's an internal parking lot, and then there's one on the street as well.
Right.
So,
is the street designated parking spaces or park designated parking spaces? I mean, I would treat on the street as your typical designated.
Well, that's what I'm asking, right? I don't think that's we have question. Designated because this never came up.
Yeah.
I mean, I just noted that in here it says you can't park overnight.
I didn't know we allowed overnight parking in those spots. So.
Allow them in all of them except for the beach accesses. You can park anywhere in Curie Beach overnight except for
any
beach
resident
accesses.
Can park anywhere
24 hours
in a space.
You can't stay more than 24 hours, but you can park overnight. Or at least that's what we've traditionally done. I mean,
I don't know why we should change that. We should be...
Well, that's what I'm asking, right? Yeah. If you say it's not park property, then it's still okay. It's street parking. I don't know that I've seen anybody parked in the corral, Mike. I mean, I haven't looked, but...
Yeah.
The 3 a.m. fire calls, I just drive by there when I leave, so that's why I know.
It's generally on the street up to the fence and not inside the fence.
No.
I mean, if we post it, we just got to post it for what we do.
I guess we don't mind parking overnight. We just don't want anybody sleeping.
Right, that's right.
In the cars.
Yeah, that's right.
So that
if
is
you
what
can
you
can word
first.
That to where it makes sense, Jim.
I'm going to ask you all.
Well, I think your point was right. If we just say the street parking is street parking, the corral, we need to put a sign up saying no overnight parking, and then we'll force it.
That's what I would do.
Because I don't think it's being used that much or at all that I know of. But
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think a sign makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we have, the access points.
That's right.
Says
exactly
the
right.
Access points say no overnight parking. So if we just do that for the corral, we could not have to change this.
Good, thank you. I think that's a great idea.
All right. Okay. So
that's all the questions I have. That's all my questions.
Any other questions?
Jim, I think this is a good document.
Thank you.
If
well,
it's a lot of times you find things in these type things that
you never even thought of.
That you don't think of, and that they may have been. Of course, this is our first one, really, but if we stay on top of it and something becomes irrelevant, we jump on it. And
yeah, it's a living document.
It's a living document.
Jim, you wanted to determine if you're going to make them civil fines.
My question to you is, let's go to page, first of all, let me see what Councilman Allen has.
I was going to ask about the money thing.
All right, that's where we're at.
That's where we are.
On page 6. At 13, 15, 200 at the bottom. My recommendation is, because I just think it's a cleaner, more efficient way to go, and so to speak, wrong terminology here, but let's let the punishment fit the crime. My recommendation for the primary enforcement vehicle is the issuance of a civil citation imposing a civil penalty. And I've left criminal violations off of this, and you'll recall all the hoops we jumped through regarding criminal enforcement a couple months ago. If you agree with that recommendation, I just need a consensus as to the amount of that civil penalty. And you'll see in the highlighted blank that's what I need to fill in.
My chief,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, John, you weren't finished. Well,
my question about that is, I feel like there are some offenses that are pretty serious and some that are not, like the parking, you know, $25, $50 or something. But if you discharge a weapon, that's covered under discharging a weapon in town. So mm-hmm. whatever that would be. So could we have something that the penalty is per anywhere else it's covered in an ordinance if you break that rule on park property, and comma, a semicolon, $50 covers everything else, or is that just too cloudy?
That's an excellent question, John.
Why don't we say this? A civil penalty in the amount of blank, or as otherwise provided in the code.
That's where I was headed.
Good point. Excellent question, John.
So, Jim, if we would have something like vandalism or destruction of property, that would carry a different penalty and possibly being criminal?
I do recall we left that there were some, when we went through the criminal enforcement text amendments, there were plenty of things that we left which we were allowed to leave for criminal enforcement, like diving off the pier, skating somewhere. But off the top of my head, I don't recall what graffiti. Graffiti's got a public nuisance remedy to it. I don't know what the amount of that civil penalty is, but it also includes abating that nuisance.
Well, say somebody set something on fire, a restroom at Oceanfront Park.
I'd ask the chief what.
That's arson.
Yeah.
So that's going to be considered under a criminal, but that's covered under another law. It would not be
covered under the general statute.
That is why I was actually going to ask the chief to give us his opinion on that, maybe shortly.
On discharging weapons and arson. Yeah, I'd like to hear that myself.
Okay. So what we're talking about, Mike, is we're having a problem defining penalties for the park, most of them being civil penalties. But there are things like discharging a firearm, things like arson if people start a fire in one of the bathrooms, which potentially have other than civil penalties. And I don't know if there's a way that you can just take a look at that and define. Is there some line we have to cross or a definition that we have?
We would more than likely just charge a criminal.
How about discharging a weapon?
Whatever the criminal. That's I couldn't tell you what it is.
Or otherwise provided for in the code or under North Carolina general statute.
Okay. Okay, that'll work.
So what would a normal civil penalty be, Mike? What if you were, when y'all issue have something that's got a civil penalty, what's the dollar amount? I know we're all over the place with fireworks is one thing, and dogs another, and
dogs are 75. If you drive on the beach, it used to be 25, and now we moved it up to 250. It's kind of all over the place.
100 is what stuck in my mind.
Well, we do want to be consistent, right? There was a point in time where it would cost you more with your dog on the beach than if you happen to be in a beach unclothed.
Well, you'll recall that sure. One of the things that's on the stove, and I need to coordinate a borrower to see if we do it. You all adopt the fee schedule when you adopt the budget.
Yes.
And I've been instructed to take from the codes those penalties, those offenses which result in a civil penalty, and put it on the fee schedule like we have done before, but clean it up, make it right, and make sure mm-hmm. it's included. But there's going to be a range.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a reasonable question. Gentlemen, you have a recommendation? Do you have a recommendation at all, Mike? A number?
On the civil penalty.
On civil?
If you want to make it 100, that's fine with me.
100? Cool.
All right, so it's 100 or as otherwise provided for in the code or under North Carolina general statute.
Okay.
Did you have any further comments? Nikki was a huge help in putting this together. Any other questions?
So does this have to have a public hearing? Or
no, you don't need a public
or we can pass it.
Don't need a legislative hearing or consistency statement.
Okay.
So you can entertain a motion to adopt the proposed text amendments as amended. As amended.
I make a motion that we approve as amended during discussion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Thank you all. I'll get a clean copy over to staff.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you, Jim.
Presentation of the budget message.
Exactly the same as our last meeting a couple weeks ago. So as I said, I'll just kind of touch on the highlights. If anyone has any questions, I mean, definitely ask at that point in time. I have a number of slides, but again, for each one, I'll just highlight the most important items. So to start, it's just that this budget proposal is in accordance with the applicable North Carolina general statutes. One requirement is to have a public hearing before it's adopted, and that hearing has been scheduled for Monday, June 5th at 5 p.m. Once this proposal is accepted by council this evening, there will be copies available for the public to inspect. We'll have that on the website and also paper copies here in town hall. And then just one last thing, that there has to be either a balanced budget or an interim budget adopted before July 1st, state requirement. So we haven't had a problem with meeting that before, but hopefully by the June council meeting, we'll be able to have a final budget proposal that council can vote on. So the budget information that you have in your agenda packet, there's three parts to that. The budget message, which is kind of a narrative of the most significant parts of the budget, and also covering any changes from the current year budget. There's also the draft budget ordinance, and then also a draft fee schedule. So it's kind of three parts of the budget proposal. I also included here just the goals that council adopted at the council retreat back in February, and that this budget was developed with those goals in mind as we move through the entire process. I've listed those there. Rather than read through each one, I'll just everybody take a quick look at those, I guess. So there's also this second, the remaining two are what's on the screen right at this point in time. So again, as much as possible, those goals of council were included in our development of this budget proposal. So what I have next is the actual budget, the seven funds that make up the town budget. What I've shown here is what the proposed budget is for this upcoming fiscal year, what the current year budget is, and then the dollar change and also the percentage change. So you'll see a number of the funds have an actual decrease from the current year. That's primarily related to capital expenditures. We had a significant number in this current year. But you'll note on here that for the stormwater fund, it's a significant increase proposed for fiscal year 24, and that's because of, again, the same thing, significant capital projects that are occurring in the upcoming year.
Excuse me 1 minute. Chief, did the rest of you hear the conversation going on next door? Would you please ask him to keep it down so that we can continue our business? Thank you, Chief. Go ahead.
So what I'll do is just briefly go through each one of those funds, just kind of hit the highlights. So we'll start with the general fund. The highlights really here are that overall this budget is 5.4% less than the current year. No proposed change to the property tax rate. No proposed changes to any of the general fund-related fees. It does include an 8.7% cost of living adjustment and a 1.3% merit increase for full-time employees. The cost of living adjustment was kept in line with what Social Security did back in January. It also includes the addition of two new full-time positions in fire and ocean rescue. It includes capital expenditures totaling $300,500, and the debt service for this fund is approximately $722,000. So it's kind of the highlights for the general fund. I do have what comprises the revenue for that, and I'm not going to focus on this. It probably looks extremely similar to what it does every year because the components for the town revenue and the general fund are very consistent, and with the leading one being property taxes, that's about 43% of the total revenue for the fund. Also, if you look at the top six or largest six components, which are property taxes, sales tax, parking, TDA funds, garbage and recycling, and franchise taxes, that's about 91% of the revenue for this fund. So those six sources are definitely the majority of the revenue. But we'll just mention that the property tax rate, I think it said, would not be changing. The tax base the property tax levy is based on is from New Hanover County Tax Department, and that's a little bit less than $1.3 billion is the tax base. It's about a $21 million increase over last year's tax base.
Okay.
Anyone have any questions on general fund revenue? I also have a chart here. It's kind of small, I guess, but it just shows some comparative information. The green is the proposed budget for fiscal year 24. Blue is the actual revenue from fiscal year 22. The red is the estimated for this current year. And I think what this shows is that there's actually not much variation in most of our revenue categories from year to year. So anyone have any questions on general fund revenue? Move on to general fund expenses. Again, they're pretty much the same categories as every year. It's all the departments or functions that are part of the general fund. As I said, with the revenue, there's kind of the six largest components of the expense budget are police, public works, streets and sanitation, fire department, our debt service, lifeguards, and administration. So those six departments represent about 84% of the total budget. Anyone have any question on anything related to general fund expenses?
No.
So this also is a comparative slide. Here you see a little more fluctuation from year to year in certain departments, and that's primarily related to the amount of capital expenditures in any given year. Any questions on that?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay. And we'll move on to the water and sewer fund. So the highlights here, this fund also is actually a little bit less than the current year, about 2.1% less than the 2003 budget. The water and sewer fund does include a proposed rate increase, and that's a 20% increase to the usage-based tiers for both water and sewer. That means usage above the minimum number of gallons. I'm going to cover some examples to show what that means in just a minute. Water and sewer fund also has the $398,000 for potential infrastructure projects, and this fund has approximately $347,000 of that. So what we'll do first is just look at the revenue for this fund. The two largest components, of course, are water and sewer charges. They represent about 96% of the budget, and this proposal does include, as I just mentioned earlier, a rate increase of 20% on the rate. So I'll kind of explain that a little bit. So for a residential customer, the one thing we continue with our philosophy of trying to ensure that people that use the most water and sewer are paying their fair share and trying to keep the people that are trying to conserve water and keep the within the minimum or around the minimum, really see very little price increases when we do these types of rate increases. So the plan is the usage based rate tiers would increase by 20%. Based on past history, that would mean that would impact about 55% of the annual residential billings. So this just shows what the rate tiers would look like. Current for residential water and sewer, and then the proposed amounts. And it's really just as we said, the proposed amounts in red are actually just a 20% increase. And those rate tiers are based on, that's the rate per 100 gallons. And you see on there that the minimum charge, which is up to 2,000 gallons, there is no increase proposed at all. So if you use 2,000 gallons or less in a month, you'll see no increase at all in your water and sewer charges. Does anyone have any questions?
Based on that, it looks like, 45% of our residents actually are able to do that?
Correct.
Okay.
So what I have is just a couple of real simple examples just to show what the impact would be. So as I said, if you use 1,000 gallons, for example, you will not see any increase at all. If you were to use 5,000 gallons, you would see an increase of $7.48 or slightly over a 10% increase. And then as we move up, if you were to use 12,000 gallons in a month, you would see an increase of $31.15 or about 16%. And the last example I have for the residential accounts is using 18,000 gallons in a month, and there you would see an increase of $64.79 or about 18% increase. So you see that as the more you use, the higher percentage increase comes into play. Anyone have any questions on that?
No, just I appreciate Arlen and Council for supporting that strategy. Now, I've been the proponent of that for a long time. It encourages, I think the only way to encourage people to use less water is to charge more for more usage. And I think it's important to our aquifer that we continue to focus on that as an issue. And it lets our fixed income retirees minimize the impact as much as possible because you can't control water usage.
And I don't have that information here, but I've presented it at other meetings where looking at Kiri Beach in relation to the other water and sewer providers in New Hanover County. We definitely have the lower rates at the lower usage levels compared to anyone else. And by the time we get up to the 18,000 to 20,000 gallons in a month, we have the highest rate. So it has the definitely has the intended result. So. So next is the same concept for the commercial accounts, that the usage-based rate tiers would increase by 20%. So that's what this table shows. The minimum charge would remain the same, no increase. So I just gave two examples for the commercial accounts. First being at 20,000 gallons. Whether it's an increase of about $78.41 or about 17%. And if they use as much as 118,000, and I picked my numbers looking at usage throughout the course of the year, so there are some accounts that are up at the ranges, I guess. So 118,000 gallons would be about $435.59 increase or about 19.5%. So again, it's the same concept. The more you use, the larger the increase. Any questions on commercial accounts? And then we have our out-of-jurisdiction accounts, which are primarily the Fort Fisher area, the Air Force Base, the recreation area, the aquarium. So their rate structure, we're proposing the same thing, keep the minimum no change, but a 20% increase on each one of their rate tiers. and it provided two examples for an out-of-door inspection account. First, using 20,000 gallons, so you can see an increase of $78.41, or about 17%. And since we have some larger users there, especially during the tourist season, you know, a usage of 350,000 gallons, you see an increase of about $1,820.81, or that would get you up to about a complete 20% increase. So that's kind of a run through briefly of what's being proposed for the water and sewer rates for all different types of
okay.
So then with water and sewer revenue, I just have that comparative information like I did for the general fund. And you see things are fairly consistent. You do see on the green column for water and sewer, that is the proposed rate increase, rate tier increase. So that's why it's a little bit higher for next year. And then the far right, there's a transfers in. That was some of our American Rescue Plan money that was transferred into the Water and Sewer Fund this current year for some capital projects. Anyone have any questions on the Water and Sewer Fund?
No.
Anybody questions?
No.
Water saving strategy for our aquifer? Okay.
And I do have some expense information for water and sewer also. And the majority of the expenses here relate to the water and sewer operations department. That's about 77% of the budget, as we would expect. And again, the comparative information on water and sewer expenses is very similar. You see some fluctuation in operations, and that's primarily related to capital expenditures. And, also, this current year, Vivian had mentioned about sludge removal from the lagoon. That's also increased the current year expenses. So we'll move on to the stormwater fund. This fund is actually slightly over 83% greater than the current year, and that is because of the, in particular, one significant project that's being planned. To install a stormwater pipe, I guess, behind, best way to put it is behind the settler buildings and one notch of property. So that's the bulk of that $700,000. We're not proposing any changes to the stormwater fees, and this fund has debt service of approximately $66,000. So looking at the revenue for this fund, we have the monthly stormwater fees that everyone pays and stormwater building fees. The big area in purple is actually an appropriation of fund balance. So in essence, using part of our savings in this fund to pay for the capital project that that we just talked about a minute ago. Kind of plan that we've done with this fund multiple times, build it up to a certain level, and then we have significant projects that are done to minimize the amount that we have to finance, which in the end is a definite benefit to the town residents. So this just shows some comparative information for stormwater fund revenue. And you see like the monthly fees that everyone charged are very consistent. The big difference is near the far right, and that appropriation of fund balance for the upcoming year is significant. So stormwater fund expenses and operating expenses is about 31%, debt service about 6% in this fund. And this year, again, because of the large project, capital outlay or capital expenditures is about 63% of the total budget. And this just shows some comparative information on that. Operating expenses have been increasing because of the amount that's needed to be spent on just system maintenance, keeping ditches cleaned, or some of the other projects that Jimmy talked about earlier tonight. And then capital outlay, again, is going to vary from year to year. Back in 22, a portion of a back truck that was purchased was charged to this fund, and then we can see that for this upcoming year, the significant infrastructure projects. Anyone have any questions on the stormwater fund? So this is just the remaining four, which are smaller funds. Powell Fund, which is basically an allocation we received every year from NCDOT that can only be used for street repairs, paving, maintenance. We're kind of locked into that amount. It's always in that about $70,000 range because of the formula that is used to calculate the funding for participating towns. Federal asset forfeiture is restricted funds for the police department. It's where they participated in various investigations, I guess, with federal agencies and received a share of assets that were forfeited. This fund cannot be used just for normal police operating expenses. It's more for special or unusual circumstances. Each protection fund created at this point probably about almost 10 years ago when there were some concerns about funding for beach nourishment. But this fund also is anything beach related, so whether it be beach access improvement or repair or dune plantings or beach nourishment if necessary to use. So the income from this basically is just it's the investment earnings from the fund investments. And then finally is the sewer expansion reserve fund. This is for future repairs, changes, additions to the sewer system. The funding for this is system development costs that are part of new construction. The other part of this is investment earnings from fund investments on this one also. So that kind of sums up the budget for our seven main operating funds. So does anyone have any questions on any of those?
Nope. Okay. So pretty much all the time we spent over the last few months. So
exactly what we asked
right.
for.
Right. That's right.
Good job.
I just want to thank everybody, all the department heads, for council for the process went very smooth. I think we addressed the objectives of the town. I think it supports what council would hope to do, and provide good service to residents and visitors.
Well, thanks for herding all us cats. It's not easy. All right. Thank you. Anything else for any other comments for Arlen? Good job.
Nice job, Arlen.
Yeah, good job.
Review and discussion of the 2023 Emergency Operations Plan. Emergency Manager Hagler.
Yeah, so Beth, can you pull up just the Recovery Mitigation Annex and go to page 13? So we spent a year working with New Hanover County with a new vendor, not a new vendor, but a consultant on changing all the plans in the county so they all are of the same format and they all are interoperable, right? So this is a pretty big change to our written plan. It doesn't change how we do things in Curie Beach, because at least for hurricanes, because we've got plenty of experience with that. Hopefully no more this year. But just wanted to point out to council that every annex is arranged exactly the same. And for the department heads that should have reviewed this before we approved it, and hopefully you have. I didn't get a lot of feedback, but in the preparations actions checklist of each annex, you should go to that section and just look through for your department and see if you've done the things you're supposed to do. The reason I picked this one, the recovery and mitigation, is it's the one most appropriate to some of the things we do for hurricanes. So reviewing mutual aid agreements and evaluating our capabilities to do operations, which is what we always do. Look at previous act for action item lessons learned, and then develop and participate in relevant related planning, training, exercise activities. So Chief Kennedy and I, just last month, were at the Emergency Operations Center at New Hanover County for our hurricane preparedness exercise. It's an annual event, so that's part of what spools all the hurricane world off. So that 3 weeks ago, Ed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, we were up there for about 6 hours working through an exercise of a hurricane to make sure that Curie Beach and the county work together as well as all the other municipalities. But I've incorporated the feedback from department heads. We started working on this. You remember we adopted the main plan back in the December meeting. This is just all the functional annexes. If someone would like me to go through any, I'll be glad to, but make a motion that we approve the functional annexes to add to our plan and come in compliance with New Hanover County Emergency Management.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the annexes as proposed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And we'll get these put up on the website for the citizens to review at their leisure.
I do like the emergency operation things where you check that I do them or whatever.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And for council, the hurricane preparedness presentations are, I got to get my calendar up.
May 26th and 27th.
Thank you. May 26th at 5 p.m. at the firehouse. May 27th, 11 a.m. or 12 a.m.? 10
a.m.
10 a.m., there you go. There's something on alarm. 10 a.m. on Saturday the 27th, which happens to be Memorial Day weekend, but that's when I could fit it in, so that's when. Stop by Warner Brothers. That's all I have for emergency management.
Okay. It's an important document.
Oh, just kidding. It is 11 a.m.
Thank you.
I double checked.
Good. That's what I thought, but okay. I'll be there when you tell me to be there.
Okay. Scheduling department head evaluations for Monday, June 19th.
Normally you start them at 12 o'clock.
Sorry?
In the past, you have started at 12 o'clock.
Yes, okay. You gentlemen, does the 19th work for your calendars?
I think it's the best date since having a meeting that night.
Yeah.
So I right. make a motion we set the date for Monday, June 19th at 12 noon.
I'll second.
Okay. Department head evaluations, June 19th at noon. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. You have the date and the time. All right, mayor updates. The only thing that I would mention to you is that some good news from the state is that they are concentrating on infrastructure this year in the budget. They have put a lot of money aside for the infrastructure money to go out into communities, and we have requested a good portion of that, about $3.8 million. We have hopes that we will get all of it, and hopefully we'll get at least some of it. So our representative, Charles Miller, is working with us. We're feeding him information as he requires it. And this new budget will probably require some, we may need to give him some more detail on some of these items, but that's the only update I have. So how about commissioners? Commissioner Panicali?
Nothing for me.
Commissioner Hagler.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Allen.
A couple of updates from the Beach Inlet Waterway Association that Commissioner Panicali and Commissioner Pro Tem, Mayor Pro Tem Oliver and myself attended yesterday. We talked about the year the trail came up earlier in the meeting. That's a big deal within the state of North Carolina, and 2023 is the year of the trail. And for your information, the state of North Carolina, and they've got a term now called the Mountains to the Sea Trail. And as you know, the state's, what, 450 miles across if you come down Interstate 40. But the year of the trail in the state of North Carolina has over 1,100 miles of trail for bicycle, pedestrian, and paddleboard type, you know, you can canoe, kayak, paddle, because some of the trail is being considered water. And it shows, you can Google on, see the maps for it, but it is, and then I thought interesting, there are some people in that
arena that work water issues along the coast, and we had people that are hydrology engineers attend. We had congressmen speak. We had Raleigh representatives from the House and Senate speak. But whether or not you are in favor of offshore wind, and I'm not pushing for or against, but there is a movement beginning that if that happens, and some of that money should come to the state, there is a movement to make that money or a chunk of that money become beach renourishment. So we would have an annual fund then for beach renourishment along the coast of North Carolina.
Okay.
Thank you.
A couple things. One of the things we did talk about at the NC Byways meeting is a beach protection plan, and that's something we're going to have to start working on. It may have to take a while since Mr. Batson's out for a while, but we've been talking about that. That's the item that we were talking about the other day. That's going to be coming up. I'd hope tonight to have our contract with Withers and Ravenel ready for approval, but NCDOT has not approved the rate. They have approval since it's state and federal money, so we didn't get it in this month, so hopefully by next month we'll have that in. So I've got my fingers crossed on that. And, everything else is moving forward.
All right.
Okay, Mayor,
yes,
one
sir.
Other thing reminded me of, beach renourishment, Army Corps of Engineers, Bob Kessler.
Yeah.
This was informed us that our funds for our next round of beach renourishment have been approved and appropriated already.
Okay.
So we won't run into the problems that we had last time. So the money is there for our 2025 cycle of renourishment.
Okay, so they got it in order. All right, good. Yes. Good, excellent. Okay, I would accept the motion to adjourn to closed session.
So moved.
Or go to closed session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.